Hey folks, Susan Baracco here. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. It's 3 o'clock Eastern time. And I see people are jumping on and joining us. Thanks so much for being here today. We've got a number of people and I'm going to give people a chance to join on. If you would just say hello in the chat, let me know if you can hear me. Just want to make sure that my audio is working properly. So, and if you want to, just for fun, I have a slide up there. We're going to be going through a couple of slides today. And the first one is just kind of for fun, a spring thing. Amy, hello. Thanks for letting me know. And Wendy says, yep, she can hear me too. Great. Thank you. Chris has joined us. Derek is here. Janet. Linda. See, Melissa is on the line too. Welcome. Renee. There's someone here with a long, I don't see a name there, so I'm not sure who that is, but I also see Ryan and Suzanne. Amy says she has a black thumb. I love it. You know, there are times I'm really good at growing weeds. I think that's my forte. So I feel your pain. Actually, I do pretty well with some herbs that I plant. So I use those for cooking. Derek says the only thing I've ever seen to plant in our garden is disappointment. Oh. Janet says edibles, mints, elderberries. Yep. Yeah, animals are definitely a problem. Suzanne said she'd love to grow tomatoes, but mice eat them. I have all kinds of animals running around in my backyard in the middle of the night eating things. So it can be tough to grow things if you're in a more remote area. Awesome. Well, welcome everybody. We've got a nice group. Oh, some more folks have joined us. Let me see. I see a couple more people have jumped on. Mike, Audrey is with us. Seeing somebody also who's called in by phone. So welcome. When people are still coming on, I would love it if you have a chance to share a win with us, big or small. Type in a capital W in the chat and let us know if something really good. What's good? What's good going on out there? Chris says, I picked up a new client this week. Congratulations. Good for you. Suzanne said she's got a lead magnet job with a company nearby. That's awesome. Good for you. Melissa finished a project ahead of schedule. Yay. That's a great win. Feels good. It's nice to have that extra breathing room. Janet said she's working with a new client this week as well. Congratulations. Good stuff. Can't believe it's the end of April already. Boy, did that, I don't know what happened to April, but it's disappeared on me. So sounds like you guys have had a productive month though. Derek says a potential new client via unexpected LinkedIn connection. Good for you. LinkedIn's a great tool. Great, great tool. Oh, and I see Seneca has joined us. Hello there. Who else? Rob is on the phone with us. Welcome. Good, good, good. All right. Renee said, I started a proofreading project that reminds me how much I love copy editing and proofreading. Good for you, my former business, even though it's not a moneymaker. Good for you. I'm glad you like that. I'm challenged with proofreading and copywriting copy editing can be a challenge for me. So nice to hear that you enjoy it. All right. I'm going to move on to the next slide. I'd love to hear what you folks are working on right now in regards to the program. Is there anything in particular in the training part of the program that you're implementing, that you're kind of experimenting with or trying something new? And so type in a capital I in the chat and just let me know if there's something that you've recently been studying in the program or focusing on, anything new that you're implementing. All right. And here's the person who doesn't have, it's a strange, it looks like a login ID or something. Said reconnected with a colleague after 10 years, mentioned social media management for one association client. He asked me for more info for potential similar work for two associations he belongs to. Great. Good for you. And if that's you, whoever that is that put that in the chat, please type in your name so I know who you are, because it's just kind of a, it almost looks like a password or something that's showing up and not your name. Janet said she needs to totally, feels like she needs to totally rebuild. You've been dealing with a family illness and death, and it has sidetracked your business. Understandable. So just trying to get back into business. Oh, hi, Melinda. Okay, thanks, Melinda, for letting me know that. Yeah, I'm not sure why your name isn't showing up. But Janet, definitely life has a way of dragging us away from business, and it sounds like you've got some pretty big things you're dealing with there, so. Amy says, I'm spending time retooling and tweaking my website this week. Also doing a lot of the mindset work. I'm struggling hard with imposter syndrome and related issues. Yeah, and Amy, I have your question. I think we'll chat about that today. Suzanne says, you're about to launch into warm email prospecting. Yikes. Yes, yikes, but go. Yes, congratulations. A lot to learn, and definitely something that take some fortitude to get into warm email prospecting. Janet says that, she says, I have to say the flexibility of being self-employed was really a wonderful thing this year. It absolutely is. Absolutely. I have family health issues that I deal with, and if I didn't do what I do for a living, it would be incredibly hard. I would never be able to have the flexibility and take the time when needed. And it's been a real gift, a real blessing for me to have this flexibility. So, all right, Derek says, I'm looking at some warm email prospecting. Janet's going to reboot the warm email prospecting and see if she can get back into lead gen. Good. Kristen says she's struggling with her niche and what I picked, and I picked what I know. I think, did you put in a question about that? A couple of questions here, but no, but we can talk about that today. And you didn't put in a question. Okay. That's all right. We may have time to get around to you today. So all right. Well, I want to dive right in and start getting to the questions, because there were a few that were pre-submitted. And I want to dive into those. There's a couple of you who are on the phone, and there's a couple of folks that who couldn't be here who submitted questions. So I'm going to start with the folks who couldn't be here. And I think there was one from Gabe. Gabe says, I need to know the right approach when I get a gig. I have trouble delivering the wanted work. Sometimes the communication gets lost with my client. I use a creative brief, but I feel it has not worked the way I wanted it to work. He's looking for some guidance on a more step-by-step approach, getting the right information so I deliver the project on target. So good question. I know many folks who get into this, once they land a client or start landing clients and start getting into more complex projects, if it's something simple like a blog series or email series or something like that, it can be a little more simple. But depending on what's involved and what they're looking for, A creative brief is a great start because the creative brief gives you the background information that you need. And I imagine, Gabe, that you're using one so you understand it's really defining the audience and what message they're trying to send. It really gives you the foundational information, but it's not a great tool once you actually get into the project to manage the project with. So my recommendation for you, Gabe, is to go with a scope of work and head in the direction of a scope of work. And this is something that is a tool that will help you to more clearly define and manage the client's expectations, number one, but also to manage the project. And I know we've talked recently, I believe, about project creep, where that scope of work starts to creep and a client will come back to you and say, oh, can I add on just one more thing? And so a scope of work is something that really helps you to define that more clearly. And for those who might not be familiar, and for you, Gabe, if you're listening to the replay when you have a chance, scope of work is something that really more clearly defines, here's what I'm going to do and here's what the client's going to do. And it's really almost like, it's more like a task list. So you will provide this information, I will write this by this time. And it's really got more dates and milestones in it than a creative brief. So I am going to actually make a note. I'm going to check in with Ed as well and see if he's got a document. I went through the information that's online in the training portal, and I didn't see anything that was directly connected to a scope of work. So if anyone has a scope of work that they might, a sample or an outline they might be willing to share, please post it in the Facebook group. And in the meantime, I will also see if I can hunt down a sample for you, Gabe, so that you have more of a sense of what it is that we're talking about here. But I want you to think more in terms of quite literally tasks, what has to be done, who's going to do it, and by what time. So that's really, you know, by what date, what's the due date. And that's really a better document to use to manage, especially a larger project. So hope that helps. I hope that that answered your question. And I'll see if I can find a resource, a good resource, and post it in Facebook for you. All right. I think that was... Let me just see. The only one where I think was pre-submitted where the person was not going to be here. I think everyone else is here. So I am just going to kind of dive in and take, again, the pre-submitted questions. I'm going to start with Amy Davis. And Amy, I am going to unmute you. Hey, Amy, are you there?
I am here. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi okay. there. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
All right. So I am hoping I have the right, you pre-submitted a question that was the same one that you had posted in the Facebook group, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. I wanted to make sure I had the right, Amy.
Yep.
Good. And so just for everyone who's on the call today, Amy is just curious. Her question was, how do you know if it's time to give up and move on to something else that's not freelancing? And there's quite a bit of backstory here. And I know that you had posted this on Facebook and a lot of people responded. And I thought you had some really great, a real good broad spectrum of opinions and ideas and things. And I'm hoping that was helpful to you. But it sounds like you're still stuck. And I'm wondering if it's, I guess my question to you is that there's a bit of personal involved here where you're feeling really pulled by your family obligations and things outside of the work piece. But then you're also feeling, I guess I want to understand a little bit more about your perspective on your viability in the marketplace, because it sounds to me like that's part of your question. You said you're feeling a little burned out, but also not sure if you're bringing the value. And I just want to understand a little bit more about your thoughts in that area. Is there something in particular you feel you're lacking?
Yeah, there is, but I don't know that I know how to put it into words. I mean, I guess these are kind of two separate two separate issues, and all of the personal side of it, the family side of it and things. I mean, I think I'm a little unstuck as far as I've gotten a little bit out of my head. So that's just something that's ongoing for me. And I think because of the nature of how I'm wired, that will probably always be a struggle for me. But I'm working on that stuff, and, you know, and I have the support of a husband, which is huge, and I don't want to minimize that. And he keeps telling me, you have to ask for what you need. I'm like, yes.
Good for him.
But the other side of it is, I think when my first iteration of freelancing was, I started in about 2003, 2004. And that was really it was pre-social media. It was
True. Yep.
Not everybody had a website. You know, it was just really the early days. It's hard to believe that it was that recent that not everybody had a website. You know, there wasn't all the SEO and all that kind of stuff. And then I took this long break, and I feel like all this stuff happened in the meantime. And now people are talking about things like landing pages and SEO. And I don't really understand a lot of that. And I don't know it, and I'm not sure I want to know it. And it feels to me like people are expecting these massive sales funnels, and you've got to have this authentic, crazy, cool voice and sound like a millennial. And I'm an old lady. And I just don't know if I have that.
Oh, I completely, completely understand. And this is really helpful. I'm glad that you submitted the question and are here to chat about it, because it's hard to talk about this stuff on Facebook. I think that, you know, first of all, I completely understand what you're saying, because when I first got into copywriting, I went through the AWAI program, and as I was going through that, I was doing all the training, and I was, you know, good little doobie and studied and hand wrote things out and did all the stuff they tell you to do, and I learned a ton. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. But one thing I did learn is that you know, it's just not for me. Like, I'm not interested in writing landing pages. That doesn't work for me. And I'm not particularly good at it either. It's just not my sweet spot. Right. I mean, we all have things that we enjoy. And so I decided that was one of the times that I pivoted. I started out being that copywriter who wrote anything for anyone, because I just needed clients and was desperate and went through all that. But then as I started getting more deeper into it, I realized direct response copywriting, definitely not for me. The landing page thing, it just didn't feel right to me. And had anything to do with my age? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. All I know is that it just wasn't for me. And it's sort of like someone saying, hey, sit down and write a book of poetry. Oh my gosh, you know, I'd rather watch, you know, stick pins in my eyes or something. It's just not for me. And so I think one thing I'd encourage you to do, Amy, is separate that, is to say, what am I good at? What do I love to do? And,
you know, that's a really good point, because I was never really very good at the direct mail and the short pithy ads and that kind of stuff either. That was never my forte. And so maybe it's trying to call on that same skill set is just not, that's just not where my sweet spot is. I'm so much more at home with the longer narrative, more story oriented pieces, the case studies and the books and, you know, that kind of thing is just so much more in my wheelhouse. And maybe that's just part of it, is that whole realm just doesn't appeal to me.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, we've got a phone call here with 24 people on it, and each one of us dislikes some part of copywriting somewhere, different parts, right? But that's why there's 24. That's why there's so many copywriters out there, is because there are people that are really good at that. I just don't happen to be one of them. It sounds like you're not either. But that doesn't mean that you don't have any value to bring. And I would strongly urge you, if you know that long form copy is your thing, then focus just on white papers. Start looking at case studies and white papers so that you can tell stories. The other thing that I would suggest is think about thought leadership. How can you help support people in telling their stories through thought leadership, sharing their experience and their wisdom with the world? Look more at long copy, and don't be so hung up on you know, no one would hire me to write a landing page. I'm not good at it. And I would tell them, go find somebody who is going to make you shine and make it and make, you know how to write copy that converts. That's not me.
So you think there's like, that's still, because that is where I've been trying to focus is bringing, you know, I mean, I'll take other work because I don't have a lot of stuff going on right now. Right. But that's still a thing because I feel like that is where, that's where I'm trying to direct my efforts and my web page and thing or my website and things like that. It's like towards the long forms, the case studies, the thought leadership is actually, I was just thinking about that as I'm retooling a little bit. Like yeah. I need to build that into my website a little bit. And I've thought a couple of times, I've worked on two kind of self-help books in the last year and it was so fulfilling for me. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
So there you go.
Because I was really like, it was focused on helping other people and it spoke to that like INFJ thing I have. Yeah. Yep.
So much more fun. And I'm in the same place. So it has taken me 5 years to figure this out. Hopefully it won't take you as long. So for the last 2 years, I've focused on helping people write their books. I'm a ghostwriter and a developmental editor. So those are the things that I do because I feel the same way when I'm helping someone tell their story, figure out how to tell their story and then do it and then, you know, polish it, make it shine. I love that. That's what I'm all about. I will tell you that it's a different approach from a marketing perspective because you can't cold call somebody and say, hey, you want to write a book?
Right. You know, and I think that's where I'm struggling too. Yeah. How do you get those clients?
it's a very different, very different approach. So just very briefly, there's actually a gentleman that Ed has partnered with in the past. He's a dear friend, Derek Lewis, and he does a program about getting into ghostwriting. And one of the things he talks about in that program is leaving a breadcrumb trail. So you're not out cold calling, so to speak, or you're not sending warm emails because that doesn't work with people who are doing that. If it's a book, if it's something like us, I've worked with a number of different people who just wanted thought leadership. So they wanted a blog series and maybe an article or two that would be put into perhaps an industry publication, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So you could think about focusing on the executive level, someone who's more maybe an entrepreneur or an executive level who's in that place where they know, you know what, I want to position myself as a thought leader, but I don't have the time, or maybe I'm not a good writer and I need some support around that. So you might think about how would I approach people?
C-level executives, that's where I really want to focus. I do have quite a bit of experience writing for those guys, people.
That's perfect.
But I just like, I can't publicize my writing for them. I have to get them interested in me so I can send it to, because I can't do it publicly.
So you wouldn't be able to put that on your website? Is that what
I don't have the freedom to really put it on my website, but I can share it personally. I just can't really put it on my website.
So that's where you start. And the same thing with LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Limited there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think I could send it like privately. I couldn't really do
it that way. Yeah. Okay. Then that's what you would want to make the connections. Find the emails and put them in a warm email, you know, maybe set up a warm email to a series or some kind of a newsletter, send out, you know, tips for create a series of discussions or ideas, tips for thought leadership. So thought leadership for non-writers, something like that. You know, have some fun with it. Come up with something kind of creative that, you know, if you're not a writer, because you don't have time or you don't have the interest, but you still want to be a thought leader, here's some ideas about what to do and how to do it.
Okay. That gives me some good ideas.
Yeah. And start playing with it. You know, I think before you give up entirely, and I certainly understand what that's like, I would explore this. I mean, you've come this far in the process. Before you give up entirely, I would strongly recommend it. You explore, okay, what do I love? And if that's all I want to do, then how do I build a business around that? How do I build a business around book writing? And what I was starting to say is that Derek Lewis recommends leaving that breadcrumb trail. So speaking engagements, podcast interviews, your own blogging, creating also lead magnets, so to speak, that are, hey, here's my 10 top tips for, or, you know, my 6 top tips for lead, thought leadership, or whatever the case may be, or for blog writing for thought leaders, mm-hmm. Or for executives, something like that. So, you know, create some things that you can use that will be attractive to that C-level audience. Mm-hmm. That's really going to speak to them where they see it and, or maybe that you can share with them via email or privately as you're saying.
Okay. Okay. That's really helpful. Thank you.
I hope so. And definitely keep us posted in the Facebook group. Let us know how it goes, and don't hesitate to reach out if you have more questions.
I will. Thank you.
Good luck, Amy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Amy. She was very brave in the in the Facebook group to bring that up. That was difficult when you're on the fence like that and not sure which way to go. All right. I am looking for, I don't see Terry. Not sure if that's Terry on. There's someone who's on. Let me see. Someone who's dialed in by phone, and I don't have a name, so I don't believe Terry is on the phone. She pre-submitted. I thought she was here. All right. Well, I'm assuming she's not here. Terry, if you are, please just type in the chat so I know you're here, but I'm going to assume that you're not. So I'm going to read her question real quick. This is a great question that she submitted. I could use some practical advice on how best to respond to a request for proposal. And I think she may have posted this in the Facebook group as well. I'm interested in this assignment, but want to make sure to price out it according to what they're asking me, because it sounds more like more than just content writing. And here's the request. She gives some background information, and this is submit a proposal on how we want to strategically drive product marketing and how you can help us manage this piece of the business. Please submit a proposal covering the following. And this is something that she put in the Facebook group, and I think some of you may have responded. How can we best reach our target audience? Which avenues would give us the best bang for our buck? What's the message we should be delivering, et cetera? So she lists several things. The one thing that jumps out at me, and she gives quite a bit of other background content here. I'm not going to read everything. But the one thing that jumped out at me when I reread this and took a closer look is the first word that popped into my head was package. So what I would recommend is that you kind of change your mindset a little bit here. I think right now you have kind of a writer's mindset coming into this because you're talking about, oh, well, I think I can do 10 hours a week and things like that. She had some other ideas about hours and how to manage this. I would switch your mindset to a consulting mindset. Also in the submission, she puts that she has experience in strategic planning. And this sounds like more of strategy. This sounds like building a strategy and then implementing that strategy for the client. So what I would do is, what I would recommend that you do is think about creating maybe two or three packages that the client could consider. Based on the information you've given me, here's what it sounds like you need. And so package A is the smallest one. It's just consulting on the strategy, just helping you to build your strategy around this product and the target audience. Package two might be building that strategy plus implementing a part of it. And then package three might be strategy, implementation, and management. So we're just getting obviously bigger and bigger in terms of the offering. And the biggest package would be that one where I help you to define your strategy, I implement it for you, and then I ongoing management of that. And that way the client can choose what they think is the best fit for them. It also gives you the opportunity to be that person who takes care of all of it start to finish. And the strategy piece, that way that very first package that you offer them lets them know that you don't do the strategy piece for free. That's a billable service, because that's part of the value that you bring, your experience as a strategist. You're going to bring that. So, and they need to pay for that. And that would probably be the best one that I would recommend is think about this in terms of a package deal, which a couple different kinds of packages, figure out each one building on the next, and obviously pricing that increases with each package and with each set of options. And that gives them more to think about, because then they're going to look at you not just as a copywriter, and you're going to look at you not just as a copywriter, but as that resource that can bring everything that they need. And that's really how you want to position yourself. So I am hoping that answers your question, Terry. I hope that's helpful. Again, if you have further questions, feel free to jump on Facebook and leave us a message there. Let us know if you have further questions or need any other help. But I'm hoping that the packaging ideas will get you thinking, get the wheels turning for you. All right. I have another pre-submitted question from Rob Lindsay, and I'm just going to see if I can find you, Rob. I think you're here. Yes, you are. All right. Let me see. Did I unmute you? Rob, are you there?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi there.
What do you know? My new laptop actually has a microphone in it.
There you go. Yes, it does. We can hear you fine. Well, thanks for submitting your question. I want to just read briefly what Rob submitted, and he's looking for super budget ways to market himself. He said, how do you market yourself when you don't have any money for marketing? And it sounds like you're in a place where you're kind of on a feast, or you call it a feast or famine cycle. You're constantly, cash flow is an issue for you, and you don't have any money left over to invest in your business. So,
no, actually, it would just be a famine cycle right now.
Okay. Well, one of the things that, and again, Rob has some background detail here, but you know, the bottom line is, how do we get into marketing without spending any money? That's the bottom line, and really not spending any extra. One of the things that I want to ask you, Rob, based on what you told me and, you know, what you shared in your submission, does it make sense, or have you thought about perhaps getting maybe a part-time job temporarily to tide you over? Is that something you've considered?
Doing what? Working at McDonald's?
Anything. Anything at all. And the reason I ask, and normally I wouldn't recommend this, but based on what you submitted, and this is obviously something, you know, very personal decision on your part in terms of how you want to be able to keep the lights on, quite literally. But I myself worked full-time in between. I actually had a full-time job, and many people who are in this program have full-time jobs or part-time jobs to supplement while they're trying to get their business off the ground. And, you know, I'm just concerned in the sense that, you know, certainly the way that you worded this, it seemed like you're definitely in a difficult situation. And that's just one option to consider. And it might not be copywriting, but it might be something to help tide you over to help you get you through until you can get the business up and running the way you'd like it to.
Well, for reasons that I won't go into here, that's not really an option for me.
Okay. Well, the next thing then that I would recommend is to head into section 3 of the program, and that's the prospecting section of the where all the training modules are. And I would recommend that you really dive into the prospecting piece and go through it and look for things that are that have no cost. And there's a lot of things in there that I think you can find that don't have cost, that you could implement right away to start shaking the bushes and getting some interest. Have you worked at all on reaching out to your network? Is that something that you've tried?
I've reached out to my network and reached and reached and reached. I have a newsletter, which I send out monthly.
Oh, good. Okay.
I my biggest problem, which I talked about in another call, is that I'm sitting around right now waiting for people to make up their minds to do something. I keep reaching out to my network and I keep hearing, well, we're not quite ready for this. Give us a call back in May or give us a call back in June.
Sure. Sure.
And they've been telling me that for months and months now.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty common, honestly, that things get pushed off. That's not, it's a common problem that I think many people on the call would agree they've run into the same kind of thing. And sometimes it feels like that's, you know, nobody's ready to do anything.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, I would think about, first of all, take a look at your target audience. And what industry or what area do you focus on?
Usually high tech. There are various nuances that I deal in. For example, data centers.
Okay.
But can't focus on any one niche because there's no one niche that has enough work to sustain me.
And that's what I was thinking, is it may be a good time to step back and broaden your focus a little bit more?
I'm broad. I do data centers. I do what's called mission critical infrastructure, which is electrical infrastructure. I do backup battery power systems. I do product creation, product design. I do technology. I do telecommunications. I've got all sorts of many niches. It's just that nothing's going.
So are they, is there just not a demand for your services? Is that what you're finding?
Well, it depends on what you mean by demand. If demand is people telling me, yeah, we're probably going to do this or that thing here and we'd like to use your services, we're just not ready yet, then there's plenty of demand. If demand is actually getting work going, rather than sitting around waiting for people to get going, then there's very little demand. So there's put it this way: there's lots of interest, but very little work.
Hmm. And that's why I'm wondering if there's a different sub segment of what you're focusing on that might have more of a demand. Have you looked at how other high-tech writers are positioning themselves? Any of your competition? I mean, have you explored
that? Well, that was the subject of my email there. As near as I can tell, the other high-tech writers are positioning themselves by putting together websites. And that's sort of where I'm stuck. Because as I mentioned in my email to you, I tried to construct a website last year and worked with a web designer to do that, but then my business went sour and I wasn't able to complete the project. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm eventually going to have to get back to that website. I know it's necessary, but I'm wondering what I do until then. Do I sit around waiting for people to make up their minds?
No, you need to keep prospecting. And I know that's something that just feels like it's fruitless right now, but I believe that it's just
right now. It feels like it's been fruitless for ages.
Mm. And that's why I'm suggesting that you try a different approach. Have you tried partnering with any other web designers to see if you can be the writer on for web copy for other, you know, partnering with agencies or web designers or anything like that? Have you done any kind of like affiliate approach?
I haven't done an affiliate approach with web designers. I have worked for agencies, but okay. Even the agencies are kind of few and far between. The last job I had for an agency was last year. And, that was the first job that they'd given me in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So you might want to think about reaching out to web design firms and marketing firms. And even some of the, probably marketing or even PR firms to see what kind of work you could
Yeah, I've done that.
Could be for them.
I've done that in the past. That was something that I did. Web design firms certainly would be an option, but I've reached out to marketing and PR firms before, and their basic response to me was, "We'll keep you in mind."
So, have you tried anything along the lines of podcasts, like being a guest on a podcast? A guest speaker, like on tech podcasts that are focused on the tech audience, perhaps on your audience.
How would I go about positioning myself as a guest for podcasts? I'm asking seriously. How would I do that?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is to come up with almost like a mini presentation, and it might be something based on the top five mistakes that every high-tech company makes with whatever. So it might be something that you see your potential clients making the same mistake over and over with their marketing or with their web copy or some other area that, you know, they struggle with, and sort of like become the expert on that. And then talk about, then when you reach out to podcasters to pitch yourself, which is basically what you're doing to them, and podcasters are always looking for good guests. So if you could come up with a really engaging topic to discuss about what you know and what you write about, it's amazing. I've actually done a fair amount of it myself in terms of just, and it cost me nothing except to reach out to the podcasters and pitch myself saying, "Hey, I'd love to be on your show." And it doesn't cost anything. And then it's something else for you to promote and to use in your newsletter, to use in your warm email marketing. It's just another way to get in front of potential clients. And if you haven't tried it, I would definitely recommend that you do. There are services out there. I will forewarn you. There are folks out there that are almost like a database of podcasters, and you can, for a fee, of course, you can have access to that database, and then they give you all kinds of podcaster contact information that you can reach out. You don't have to do it that way, but it's just they are out there. But the other thing is to just get on, Apple, either your podcast tool, anything on your, either on your web, on your smartphone or on your computer, and search them and see what kind of podcasts you can find. But that's just another way to be featured and potentially get in front of people. It's just a different approach, and there is no cost. Mm. So something to think about. I think it's, you know, sometimes you get to a point where you certainly sound frustrated. You kind of sound like you're at the end of your rope here. And I'm really just trying to come up with some ideas of things that you might not have considered before. It's just another way to get your name out there. And then to be able to, once you get booked on a podcast, then, like I said, you're putting that in your newsletter. Hey, don't miss my speaking, my event on this podcast. You can promote it yourself, promote it out on LinkedIn, promote it on all your social media. And then what I do is I also put that link back to my website. I actually post it on my blogs after I've been on a podcast. I include it as part of my blog rotation as, hey, I was on Jim so-and-so's podcast talking about X, Y, or Z. And for me, it's, all about writing your book and, what are the top three mistakes people make or that kind of thing. So really make yourself interesting to them and start marketing. It's fun. I mean, if you're comfortable speaking, especially at a podcast, it's audio only. So it's kind of fun. I've had some really good luck with that. So just trying to come up with something maybe a little bit different.
All right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, good luck, and keep us posted in the Facebook group. Let us know how you make out. All right. We've got some great stuff going on here, and thank you everybody who is Thank you so much. Let me see. We've got 4:15 here. Thank you, everybody who's making comments in the chats while I'm talking with people. Sorry that I'm not able to interact there as much as I would like, but definitely appreciate you sharing your wisdom with everybody who's on the call. All right. Great. And I have a question that was submitted by Suzanne, and I'm going to see if Suzanne, if you're here. And you are. Hello there, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Great. I have a question from you about, you said that your content wheelhouse is digital marketing and MarTech, and these companies have all kinds of writers, and you're about burnt out on them. And you're feeling like it's the only industry or area where you have some experience. So I just want to explore that a little bit. Tell me about how long you've been working in this particular industry.
Well, I was a social media examiner's freelance. I was their research article writer. I also did the ebooks and the blog posts for a few agencies here in San Diego. I got some of, I did some guest posting. I did some guest posts for their CEOs that got into Forbes and Fortune, HuffPost, that kind of thing. And okay. So I do understand the whole digital marketing landscape, and I understand it well, but when I go to read it, it's just so dry, and I really burned out on it about a year ago. I ended up taking a completely different job because I felt like I couldn't write another line. And I would research online about content writer burnout, copywriter burnout, and there wasn't a whole lot. But I realized I was writing too much for not enough money, and yes. Marketing agencies were some of the lowest payers. Something like Ed writes for architecture, engineering, construction, and of course, they'll be happy to pay him because they don't have a marketing team in the middle there. Or they might, and they found it on the side. I don't have a good niche like that. So I was wondering if I focus on the product instead, if I focus on, like Amy was saying, like more long form, content, like, thought leadership content, blog posts, ebooks, and origin stories. Origin stories seem to be getting a lot of attention these days. Then can I hit all the industries? I mean, am I cool to do all the industries?
I honestly don't see why not. And the reason being is that what you might want to do is make sure that you have such an amazing background as a research article writer. I mean, that's tremendous. And I think what I would do is look at what industries are going to find that most valuable. So who would read that on your website, for example, and go, ooh, that's really cool. Someone might. So what industry is going to look at your background and really be excited about what you have done?
Just digital marketing and MarTech, I'm afraid.
But the thing of it is and this is all about pivoting, because it sounds to me like you want to just kind of switch your focus a little bit here. And I think it's a great idea, but there's nothing wrong with using that to then say, okay, so I spent X number of years as a research article writer, but here's what that means. Here's how it translates into writing origin stories. So what I would kind of challenge you with is thinking about how can I then, why does my experience make me the right person to write origin stories, if that's something you really want to get into? Or how does my background help? And see if you can make some ties to some connection there.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then when you're, and then again, you also are going to be looking at, because you also mentioned in what you submitted is sort of that thought leadership. So what about your background is going to pique the interest of the C-suite?
Okay.
Does that make sense? I want to make sure that you understand that, like, it may not be a direct connection, but they might look at you and think, oh, they're going to have respect for you because of what you've done. It's sort of like someone, perhaps like, for example, maybe it's because I have an MBA. It might not have anything to do with writing, but just, she has her MBA. Okay. So that's just going to elevate you a little bit. And so what I want you to do is not focus so much on, don't be so linear in your thinking about this, is to kind of say, okay, how do I dress that to make it appealing to the C-suite? And then to be able to start, and you're going to have to work a little bit at creating that, a set of, the connection, but also some valuable things that you can share. And it's the same thing I've been talking about with a couple people today is, so where's your expertise? The same thing, like what are three mistakes that everyone makes when they're trying to prepare or try to create an origin story? Or what are three things that must be included? You know, come up with a piece like that that you can share.
Okay.
What, and even come up with a piece, something like, so what is an origin story? And why is everybody so excited about it all of a sudden? Like, help me out. Right. I might be a thought leader or a C-suite, and I might be embarrassed because I don't know what the heck an origin story even is. And so you want to educate them at that level and start teaching, you know, become an educator.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you so much, Susan. That is really helpful.
I hope so. And definitely, same thing. Keep us posted. Let us know.
Okay, I will.
In the Facebook group.
I sure will.
All right. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Great question. I think that's all I have for pre-submitted. And I'm looking. I know there's one. Melissa has a question on here. Melissa, I'm just going to take a quick look, make sure I didn't miss anyone else, but I think you're next in line. I think we have just a couple minutes and we might not be able to get to everything that you have down here. Because you put a lot of information down here. Melissa's question was, I've been successful working with small businesses in Kansas, primarily service providers. Now I'd like to start working with bigger clients in larger metro areas. However, I don't have any agency or corporate experience. I'm not sure who to look for when it comes to prospecting. And your professional background's in journalism and nonprofit, a good interviewer, intuitive listener, and pick up on small details. So what types of bigger or established businesses would need help with this type of customer-focused, personality-driven copy? Can you think of a simple way to describe what I do? Awesome. So, Melissa, if I can find you, there you are. All right, you're unmuted. Hello there.
Hi.
Great question.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I think a lot of what you shared with Amy and with Suzanne definitely relates to what I'm struggling with too.
Good. I hope that's helpful. I think what we tend to do is not think of ourselves. We think one-dimensionally sometimes, as opposed to broadening, like with, not with Amy, with Terry, who wasn't here, but she was, you know, thinking, oh, I got to, you know, figure out my hours and do that and to kind of change your perspective a little bit and take more of a consulting approach. And same thing with you. So I would challenge you to think about your background. That's one of the things that I do when I review websites for folks is what about your background is going to make your target audience say, wow, you know, what is it that your background and not exactly the exact experience, but maybe it's years of writing something. That it may not be a direct connection, but it might be something that they would really value and appreciate. And I wanted to ask you too, because you asked the question about what types of bigger established businesses would need help. Have you explored any of that yet? Of any other kind of companies that you are interested in?
A little bit. And maybe my struggle is just not knowing where to focus. You know, I've looked a little bit at nonprofit tech. I've looked at, I can't even come up with them right now, but I just don't know where to start, I guess.
Understood.
I realize there's a limit locally to the opportunities available and particularly the budgets available. And so I'm just looking for some bigger opportunities to kind of, you know, grow out of my Kansas roots, I guess.
Yeah. Understood. Well, one of the things I would think about is look at the kinds of companies that are bigger, but not too big.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're looking for is the kind of a company that is big enough to have the need, but not so big that they've got a team already on staff. So it's just a little bigger than what you're probably been looking at, or folks that you have been working with.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do is go that next step up, and maybe it's by headcount. Like, so if you've been working with companies that have up to 25 employees, now step up to that 50 to 100 employees.
Mm.
Right? Because they're bigger and they're starting to get more sophisticated, but they might not have the in-house team to help them with what you're doing, what you offer. So I wouldn't go all the way up to that 2,000 employees because they probably have a team, right? Or at least a marketing person, right? So you kind of want to just look at, and you're going to need to do a little bit of research and figure out, is this a, you know, where's the sweet spot here? There might be this size, maybe it's up to 100 employees. They definitely need your help, but they don't, because they don't have anybody and they're winging it. And you kind of have to just play with that. I would use all the internet tools you can find, like LinkedIn or Glassdoor, some of these other profile company, you know, business profile tools out there, and start researching a little bit and see what you find. And then just, you know, it's going to be a trial and error. Just reach out to some of them, come up with some things that, again, I would encourage you, if you don't have packages to offer right now, think about that.
Okay.
So think of it, reverse engineer it. So let's say that you find the perfect company. They have 100 employees. They have a nice, healthy marketing budget. What would you love to be doing for them? What do you know they need help with? And what would you love to be doing for them? And then create a package around those things. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And you had a second question here. We have just another minute or two about a simple way to describe what you do. Are you feeling a little clearer about that after today's call, or?
Maybe a little bit clearer on some new things to think about. I think my natural tendency is to focus on the intangible things, you know, the character traits, the type of person. And it's hard for me to define my target customer because it is so internal and intuitive versus, like, I write for people in tech, but it's not all people in tech. It's people that have these character traits. And I think that's just my struggle, is putting a definition on a quality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that there's enough business out there? I mean, is there enough, is this something that, or is this too much, is this too focused? Because that's the first thing that pops into my head, honestly, is like, ooh, is that, you know, are you limiting yourself too much by saying, well, I work with people in tech, but who have this character trait?
And that's where I don't know the answer. I think that's part of my struggle, is I just don't know how to put, I don't know how to define who I'm working for.
I would probably focus on more on just that next level up right now, because that just feels a little bit too narrow to me in order for you to, that feels very needle in a haystack. I have to be really candid.
That's okay. And that's my struggle. I often say that I not only can't see the forest through the trees, I can't see the trees through the bark.
Yeah. So I would be just careful about that. And you know what, because if you start marketing to that next level up, just a little bit broader, you're going to find those people in there, the ones who really are your sweet spot. And it's not going to be every, you know what, I have clients that I love, and then I have clients that I really like. and they're both great, but you know, some I really love working with, some I like working with. It's just a different interaction and a different kind of an experience with someone that you really click with. And I understand that. But I'm just concerned that you're limiting yourself too much by really trying to dial down on that right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
I hope that's helpful.
It is.
I hope. All right. Well, good luck. Same thing. Stay in touch on Facebook, please, so we know how you're doing. All right, folks. Oh, and I've got people dropping off. It is 4 o'clock. I hope that this has been helpful. We didn't have much of a chance to, we had a lot of questions today. We didn't have a chance to get through the rest of my slides, but this is, there's any takeaways. Let me see. I know, Seneca, you have a question here. All right, Seneca, I'm just reading your question. You have a question. Background is in facilitation focused on professional development and organizational development. You've done online trainings, classroom trainings, and projects with the USAID overseas. I'm trying to leverage that experience into a niche. Amy, I'm not too old to make a living as a writer. No, you're not. All right. And Seneca, I just saw your, if you want to post that, I'm not sure if you did, I would be happy to. And yes, Melissa, I can facilitate some discussions about niche development in the Facebook group. Just post a question in there and we can, because then Ed will jump in on that as well. All right. So yes, and Seneca, if you want to type something, you know, post it on Facebook, and you know what I find, what I'm seeing, certainly in the Facebook group for this program, is that people aren't hesitant to reach out and share their ideas, and it's always good to get lots of input on these kinds of things. So definitely post that there, and we'll go with it there. But thank you all for being here. It was a great call. Lots of great questions, lots of good feedback, lots of good sharing on the chat. That's what we love to see. This has been recorded and it'll be posted by, I believe, tomorrow or the next day for available if you want to come back or if you missed and had to leave early. But I want to just say thank you again for being here and have a terrific couple of weeks ahead. Good luck with a strong start to May for all of you. And I will see you all in the Facebook group. And take care.